We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the ninth man. The ninth man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxim.
Lieutenant Savage arrived at my office in the White House unexpectedly on that morning of July 2nd, 1942. I was taken completely by surprise. He had been working on certain leads I'd given him as a result of the murder of Mrs. McKinney as to how her killer might be found. But I hardly expected him to make a personal appearance and announce that he had found him.
Found him where?
In an apartment area up on 27th Street. A couple of my patrolmen had a run-in with him.
Well, did they catch him?
Nope, afraid not. Was that car tip you gave us? They spotted his car on the street. Came out a couple of minutes later. He must be crazy or something. He came out shooting.
What?
He wounded one of the patrolmen about a half an hour ago. Then he ran.
Hell, why didn't you call?
On the telephone about something like this? Captain, I know a lot more about this business than I did before. You've been holding back on me about this guy.
What do you mean?
He's a spy or something. You didn't tell me that.
Well, how do you know he's a spy?
I've been out there. We got the manager to let us in his apartment. There's a dead girl there. What? Been dead maybe 15, 16 hours. In the kitchen, we found the makings of some kind of bomb. My lab says it's potassium nitrate, the same stuff that was stolen from the armory the other night. If he used all the junk out of those empty bags, he's got a boomer big enough to flatten half a city block. Well, why didn't you tell me what we were mixed up in?
I couldn't. We didn't really have anything solid to go on.
Damn security types. You never figure you can tell anything. Well, I guess I couldn't have done anything about it. I just wish you'd told me. He's after the president, isn't he?
Now, what makes you say that?
It figures. Train timetables, the bomb makings, now this.
What?
Found this booklet, along with ingredients, detailed tourist guide to the White House.
Where exactly?
In the kitchen, on the table, with a lot of the other junk. Just turn to page 26. Some figures on the margins, next to a diagram of the Oval Office. Got it?
Yeah. Yes, by heaven, you're right. Fenton, call Calhoun. Get him down here, quick.
Right.
Captain, I looked pretty stupid not knowing what to do when I found that book. You didn't leave me much to do but hop in one of the squad cars, come down here as fast as I could.
Are you sure this belonged to our man?
Yeah, quite sure. We found it buried under a lot of stuff on the table. Wires, batteries, things like that.
Uh-huh.
Some camera equipment. Bunch of film holders and things. Some flash bulbs. He dropped a valise with some clothes and a little pile of phony identity cards. From this little book in the kitchen. Those figures in the margin, they're a lot like the figures on the sketch pad we found, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he was trying to decide how big a charge to set.
Yeah, right, right. It certainly looks that way.
Calhoun's on his way.
Oh.
Just how could a guy sneak a bomb past the guards?
He was carrying another bag when he came out. Some kind of leather thing on a shoulder strap. One of my officers talked to him before he started shooting, so it was the one he wounded. We haven't much chance to ask about that. My guess, based on the stuff he left behind, is it some kind of camera case. You know the kind tourists carry?
Tourists? Hell. How long ago did you say this happened?
About 30 minutes, give or take a few.
And he may already be out there. Jerry, we've got to shut down the tourist gate and get all the tourists here out of the building. You know his description. Alert the gate and pass it along.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them if they see anyone like that, pick him up and hold him.
Okay.
What's going on in here? What's all this crud about an emergency?
We may have a bomber on our hands. Look, this is Detective Savage from the D.C. Police Department. He's just found evidence to indicate that our man may be on his way here armed with a bomb. Fenton was just about to call the tourist gate to get him to shut down.
Now, take it easy. You're not shutting down any gates until I find out what this is all about.
We don't have time for all that. The guy could be waiting in line right now. Look, we'll fill you in. We'll fill you. Everything we've got. But let Jerry get the gate closed.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. Make the call. Captain, I'll have a word with you later about just why you failed to take me into your confidence about all this.
Yeah. Now that this guy's falling in, I just hope we're in time to stop him. But we learned later that the man was already in the White House. He had arrived prosaically by taxi, well before Detective Savage, and had passed through the Northwest Working Gate with far less difficulty by showing his Robert Shepard White House press credentials. The camera bag had received no more than a cursory look from the gate guards. He stashed the bag in the press room, knowing full well that it would never be noticed in the welter of camera bags belonging to regular White House press photographers. Then he hurried out into the West Wing reception lobby, looking for Officer Greer, the White House policeman whom we, ironically, had spoken to just a few minutes before.
Hi. I've been waiting for you. Been here at least 5 minutes.
Hi.
What's the matter? You don't look too good.
I feel pretty lousy. Touch of the flu, I guess. It's worse than just a cold. I almost didn't make it in today.
Well, I'm awfully glad you did. We're supposed to shoot pictures today, remember?
That's right. Damn, I almost forgot.
I'd like to get some shots of you protecting the Oval Office, that sort of thing.
Sure, why not? The president doesn't usually hit the office till about 10 after his morning swim. Oh, damn it. Feels like I got knots in my middle. Terrible stuff flu. Give you the trots, something fierce.
Yeah, it's tough. How about it? Can we get started?
Yeah, I guess so. It isn't only the trots, headaches too. I get a shooting pain right through here. Can't smell or taste anything, and these damn stomach cramps are driving me crazy. I don't mind the headache so much, but this damn diarrhea. You in a hurry?
Yeah, little. Thought I'd try to get the pictures done early so I can take the film out and have it processed before noon. That way I can have prints for you this afternoon.
Prints? For me?
Of course. You've been very helpful. It's the least I can do.
That's damn white of you. Maybe we can... Ooh, damn it. Look, you go ahead and get your camera loaded. I'll come by the press room for you in a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go in and wait for you. Hey, what is it? Where's everyone headed?
Over to the east gate. Bomb threat of some kind. They're flushing all the tourists out of the mansion.
Bomb threat?
Yeah. I hear they already detained a bunch of tourists with cameras. Some kind of telephone tip. Excuse me, I gotta run. Better get there fast, too, if you want to cover it. They may seal off the wing to protect the president. See ya.
That does it, doesn't it? Your bomb-rigged camera is useless.
How the hell did they do it? I haven't been careless.
The Secret Service men will be all over the place now, Suji. There's no way you can place the bomb and expect it to last long enough to do any damage.
Wasted. All that preparation. Lost.
Worse. With every second, you're losing your chance to get out. If they seal off the wing, you'll be trapped inside with the president.
President? Can I possibly hope to get to him before somebody spots me? A lone civilian will be too noticeable.
Yes. Unless you can somehow blend into the surroundings.
Yeah, that might do it. Protective coloration. An outer wrapping of official authority. Then a direct frontal assault on the president. And there is a way. Greer, if he's still sitting in there. camera's no good now, but the Mauser is essential. Uniform's not the ideal fit, but I think I can get away with it. Got it.
Greer?
Yeah, in here. Won't be long now. Hey, what the...
Any luck, Fenton?
No, not yet. We've shut off the east gate, and we've got every available man out there looking through the crowd. But there's a hitch, sir. I'm afraid the reporters got wind of it somehow. Word's been passed to our people. Nobody's to answer any questions.
What about the grounds? Have our men started searching the grounds?
Yes, sir. We don't see how he could have slipped through, but, well, we've got some men combing the foliage just in case.
Well, someone ought to alert the president. Where is he?
Down in the swimming pool. Shall I send someone?
I'd rather you go. Captain, I'm reclaiming Fenton. Your job's done now, and he'll be of more use with us. Any objections?
No, of course not. But what about the rest of us? Carter, Huffman, Savage? What can we do to help?
Nothing. This affair is out of your hands now. Just go back to your office and wait.
Well, let me go to the gate with you. I've been over this guy's description so many times that I feel like I know him. Maybe I can spot something your people would miss.
I don't want you in the way. I don't want any of you in the way. This is a job for experts.
Oh, hell. You can't expect us to stand around and do nothing? Not after all the time we put into this.
Right.
Why don't we go out there and do as we please?
I wouldn't advise it. Calhoun has given orders to seal off the wing. Any of you stick your noses outside, you're likely to get them shot off. Most of our Secret Service people don't know any of your people well enough to recognize you, and they're pretty edgy.
Hell, I only wanted to help.
Oh, then screw it up. I know it.
Hell, there's a bomb disposal unit coming in from Fort Myer. They'll be here any minute. And those Secret Service men probably won't let them in.
Yeah, that's right. They wouldn't even let Lieutenant Savage in. And that was before the Shinola hit the fan.
Yeah, well, I better go and tell them. We can't have them turning the bomb guards away. Sorry, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Now, that's funny. That cop he just bumped into. He was standing around, I was only listening. Now he's moving off in the other direction, towards the rear of the lobby. The action's all the other way. He's right over by the rear door now. What the hell's he up to, I wonder? Hey, you! Oh, damn it, he's gone through.
What's the matter? What's eating
you? I'm not sure. Did you see that cop?
What cop?
The one that just went through that door. He seemed to be standing around here listening to every word we were saying. He just didn't look right. You wait here. I'm going to check him out.
The swimming pool. The president's in the swimming pool. Hurry, before someone else tries to stop you.
Yeah, that man upstairs in the lobby... Why did he yell like that? My baggy uniform? What was it?
Quickly! Move! Carry the gun behind your back.
Yes. Just as well. Two Secret Service guards down towards the end of the hall, standing outside the swimming pool room. That means he's still in there.
Keep going. They're not worried about you in your White House police uniform. You can get quite close.
About 20 paces now. Impossible to miss from here.
Yes. But now, the other's trying to get his gun. Two dead with hardly a sound.
And one coming down from the stairwell.
Hit him as he rounds the corner.
He's the one who yelled at me upstairs.
Right. Now, through the door to the pool. Two guards, one on each side of the wheelchair. Another by the pool ladder, talking to the president. And the president, gripping the ladder, up a torso bobbing up and down in the water.
The two next to the chair first.
My God!
He's got his gun out. You'll have to finish him off.
Yes.
You filthy, murdering swine.
It's no good crawling for the gun. You'll never reach it, because I'm kicking it into the water.
Empty. 10 shots already? It's only taken a few seconds. 3, 6, 7, 8, including Officer Greer.
Yes. Plus the two policemen outside Sarah's building. That makes 10.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, you certainly got guts. Perhaps you may live long enough to witness the deed.
Thank you.
How'd he make out? You managed to get the bomb disposal people in?
Not a damn. Calhoun's man wouldn't let me through. Phantom was right. All I could do was try and tell them, but they wouldn't even let me explain.
I had a feeling they might screw it up.
Where's Carter?
Who?
Carter, the man from the FBI.
Oh, well, I don't know. He was standing here a moment ago, then he got itchy about something and took off that way.
Itchy? About what?
He didn't say. He just checked his pistol and took off. He was following that young Secret Service man, I think. He's only been gone a minute.
Maybe I should see what's up.
As I reached the bottom of the stairwell and turned the corner, I saw a sight I shall never forget. Three men strung out between me and the swimming pool room. One of them, Emerson Carter, resting on his side in a pool of his own blood. Shocked and sick, I leaned through the open swimming pool door and saw more blood, more bodies sprawl across the floor. One of them moved. It was Jerry Fenton, bleeding on the edge of the swimming pool. His head wobbled as he struggled to raise it. Near him, by the pool ladder, a White House policeman hunched over the water, fighting to keep something beneath the surface. His head jerked round as I came through the door. His eyes were wide and wild, but he coldly and purposefully continued with what he was doing. It was only as I instinctively broke into a run that he released his grip and swung round, bracing himself to meet the charge. As I bowled into him at top speed, hurling him backwards across the low poolside ladder, my mind registered a momentary image of the president's head breaking the surface, coughing and gasping, just inches from the side of the pool. Then I was struggling with the man in the pool. As we went under, his hands closed around my throat, and I kicked and thrashed about at the bottom, trying to break free. His hands were like iron, but mercifully, he must have been short of breath, and he broke away and headed for the surface. As my head popped out into the air, I swung around, looking for some sign of the president, and saw him at the far end of the pool, clinging to the apron. Thank God he was safe. In those few seconds, the killer had almost reached the shallow end of the pool, bobbing towards two of his victims, lying beside the empty wheelchair. He was going for their guns. As he reached the pool steps and scrambled for his footing, I plunged for the side of the pool, grabbing for the lip, and hauled myself up the edge, water streaming from my clothing. He had by then already reached one of the fallen Secret Service guards and was bent over him, digging for the man's weapon. He was already whirling round with gun in hand as I slammed into him, sending his bolt to the floor, causing the weapon to slip from his grasp and slide away in the wet cement. For a few jabbing, gouging, wrestling seconds, we fought for repossession. And I won, by mere inches. Rolled over, kicked free, and scrambled to my knees, with guns stretched out in front of me. The man froze and looked wild-eyed from the gun to the president, coughing and shivering in the water at the far end of the swimming pool. Then looked at the body of the other guard, with its gun half out of its holster, and turned a pair of cold eyes on me.
Don't do it! Don't even think of it!
You're gonna have to shoot me!
Dear God, you're not even German. You're an American. What kind of a madman are
you? This isn't your affair. Back away. Let me finish what I came for.
What? Not my affair. You're crazy. Quickly, in here. He's trying to kill the president. If you move again, so help me, I'll kill you. Ah! For pity's sake, what are you... I felt the slugs tear into my side, leg, and shoulder and was knocked to the ground by the force of the bullets. The gun I was holding flew from my hand. As they came through the door, the Secret Service men saw only an Army captain and a White House policeman, both dripping wet. There was no time for niceties, no time to determine villain from protector. Vaguely, through the shock and the pain, I saw the figure of the ninth man hurtling above me as he dived for the loose gun. I saw him twitch and jerk as the shots hit him while he grasped for the gun and aimed it at the president. But the salvo of shots tore into him, cartwheeling him off the edge of the pool. Just before a merciful film swam across my eyes, I saw him splash under and then float to the surface, face down.
Mm-hmm. Julie did everything she could after the long weeks of recuperation in hospital and took me in so that final mending of mind and body might take place at home. But I guess we both knew deep down that things would never be the same. Everything had been shrouded in a veil of secrecy, and I guess my fits of depression did little to help matters.
Come on, Andy. It's not your fault that so many people had to be dragged into it with you. It was one of those things you couldn't have handled alone, anyway. Hell, you're a sort of hero, and you just don't seem to take any joy in it.
Yeah, well, maybe I am. And it's not just a question of the secrecy. The President's decision against making anything public is the right one. The Secret Service are convinced the Germans might try again if they come to know what a near thing it's been.
Sure, sure. But you're still going to let them walk all over you. And your harebrained heroism is going to be locked away in some filing cabinet. What did the doctor say today? Does he feel you're getting any better?
Yeah, he says I'm fine. Should be able to start exercises soon and maybe throw away the cane.
I hear the spies were convicted. There was an INS bulletin in the paper saying the President has approved the death penalty. Is it true?
Well, I heard on the radio the President's still reviewing the case. I don't know any of the details.
Hell, who does? Look, I can understand him not wanting to release anything about the man who got into the White House. But why all the secrecy baloney over the trial?
I've given up trying to understand that kind of thing. The establishment makes the decisions. Slavs like me only follow them.
Damn it, Andy. Are we going to have another of those afternoons?
What afternoons?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess I do. I'm sorry. I've been thinking a lot these last few days. Gay, I think I'm going to ask for a transfer. I haven't decided definitely yet, but I thought I'd ask for active service, maybe. I think I'd like to get with an overseas unit.
For Pete's sake, why?
I don't know. Just seems the right thing to do.
Shall I tell you why you're doing it? You're doing it because you're afraid.
Maybe you're right, Gay. Maybe I am.
You went into the thicket after your bear, and you killed it, and got mauled by it, and dragged a lot of other people in there with you. But now you've got to find another thicket and another bear, perhaps even more frightening, to prove you're a real grown-up boy. If you turn back now, you'll never be able to face it again.
I guess the reason could be something like that. I just couldn't be sure at this stage.
When will you leave?
Well, the doctor says it'll be a while, but I guess I could get the paper started. I'll talk to someone at the White House tomorrow. Maybe Harry Hopkins. I've got a feeling that a few of them down there might be quite glad to see me go. They might even expedite matters. After a historic 16-day trial, conducted in total secrecy in room 5235, the Justice Department building, the convicted spies were given their respective sentences. On the morning of August 8th, 1942, less than 2 months after they had landed from the submarines, six of the eight men were awakened early and served a breakfast of bacon and eggs. At noon, the first of the six, Edward Curling, was taken to the execution chamber and strapped into the District of Columbia electric chair. By 1:30 that afternoon, Otto Neubauer, the last of the six agents who had received the death sentence, and the last to be located by the FBI, had died. Only two of the German agents, George John Dash and Peter Berger, were spared for their assistance in breaking the spy case. They were sentenced to long terms of imprisonment. In 1948, 3 years after the end of the war, they were released by President Harry Truman. In Washington's Potter's Field, the graves of their six comrades, marked by wooden slabs which bore no names, only the numbers 276 through 281, were long since overgrown with catbriar and wild hop. A few feet away, in a similarly numbered grave, lay the remains of the ninth man. Never formally identified, He was listed in the Health Department Gray Register under an assumed name, selected at random from one of his many identity cards. Though the wooden slab has long since rotted away, a whippoorwill in a nearby stand of woodpecker-ringed cedars still pierces the night with his occasional cry. Perdido, the lost one.
That was the final episode of The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Magnusson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.